From the Fort Payne Church of Christ, join us now as Jimmy Holland preaches the simple gospel of Christ. And now, here's Jimmy.
As has already been said, we are so thankful that you are with us this morning. We do have quite a few who are out of town traveling, but we also have quite a few visitors, and we're so thankful to have you. We invite you back every opportunity that you may have. And we just appreciate you being with us. For the month of October, we are going to talk about living a life that matters. Now, next month, we're having an area-wide youth devotional, and we're going to talk about something similar. But I want this to be a study that encourages us to make an impact on those around us. If you have your Bibles, we are going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Tomorrow will be 2 years ago. I was at my family's hunting camp and getting ready for bow season. I was 1 year removed from back surgery. I was excited about being able to bow hunt. And so I was needing to move some stands, and this tree was a tree that I had a stand that I was moving. And if you see the arrow pointing, that's where I was attached to the tree as I was trying to get the stand loose. And the stand had grown into the tree, so I was trying to shake it loose, and then finally it broke loose. My momentum carried me back, which for a split second didn't bother me because I had my harness on. But the buckle on the harness came loose, and I fell 15 feet and ended up breaking my back. But I look at this, and I have a lot of memories about that event. It still scares me to think about it, but I think about, as I was preparing for this lesson, I was thinking about this event specifically. And one of the thoughts that kept going through my mind was, if I don't make it, have I done enough? Because I knew I was hurt. I didn't know how bad I was hurt. I didn't know if eternally what was going on. And so the thought was going through my head, if I don't make it out of this, have I done enough? You see, that's something that we all wrestle with. We all want to matter. We all want to feel and believe that we've made an impact on those around us. And that should be our goal, because if we look in Matthew chapter 5, which we're going to reference in a few moments, we are told to make an impact, to have an influence on those that we come in contact with. We just spent an entire month talking about going the second mile for that purpose. But I want to ask some questions. What would happen if you moved out of your neighborhood tomorrow? Would people notice? Would people say, we're going to miss you? Or would they even recognize that you had left the area? What if you left your school? What if you just transferred to another school tomorrow? Would anybody notice? What if you left your job? What if you left your congregation? Now, I want to say that, you know, we should notice when someone leaves the church. We should be so in tune and recognize when someone is missing. And I want to get that out of the way. Yes, we have a responsibility to look around and to build relationships with one another and be able to recognize that. But this is more than an indictment against the church itself. It's also an indictment against the person who can leave without being missed. And there's another part of this. You see, God wants us to matter. And if I'm living a life where I can leave a situation and no one even notices, it's not all on them. I play a large part in that. A lot of that responsibility lies with me. Shouldn't we want to live the kind of lives that matter, where people notice immediately when we're gone? Not selfishly, not because we want the spotlight on us. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But how can we live that way? How can we live a life that matters? And the answer is found back in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher, that's all it means. You have Solomon writing, and the wisest man next to Christ to ever live. And he's trying to figure out what really makes man happy. What's really the purpose of life? What's the secret to life? And you see Solomon, he explores every avenue that man has always said, this is what will make you happy. Whether it was friends, whether it was money, whether it was power, no matter what it is, Solomon explored it all. And you'll see this word used over and over again throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, vanity. Over and over he says it's vanity. Over and over he says it's pointless, it's useless. These things don't mean anything. And then you come to verse 13 of Ecclesiastes 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. All has been heard. I've done all of this. I've searched everything out. Here's the answer. Here's the conclusion. Fear God and keep His commandments. Your translation may read, this is the whole of man. It also reads, this is the whole duty of man. How do we live a life that matters? We follow Solomon's advice. And I want to challenge all of us to get off the sidelines and to live a life that matters. Solomon starts by saying, fear God. Most of us have read the account of creation in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, beginning in verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. Skipping down to verse 31, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Now I want us to notice something. When we read Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27 and verse 31, when God was creating us, notice our names aren't there. Your name's not there. My name's not there. And what's the point of that? In the beginning, we weren't there and God did just fine. God did everything perfectly. Without our input, without us saying, hey God, I think you need to do it this way. Why is that? Because He's God. In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2, Solomon writes, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore let your words be few. Solomon saying, remember who's most powerful. Remember the one who has all authority. God is in heaven, you are on earth, let your words be few. That's great advice. But so many times, we're guilty of thinking that we can add something to God's creation. We can add something to make it better. But we were created in His image and according to His likeness. We can't make it better. And even that, beyond that, even after He created us, God paid us the highest of compliments when He said, it is very good. But yet man still tried to improve upon what God had done. I don't know if you've ever done that, and I'm guilty of that too. If I find a recipe or if I find something that works, I'll think, man, this is really good. And then immediately I do something to change it, thinking I can make it better. And sometimes it works, most of the time, not so much. But we tend to do that with God. And Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, they did that. They were created in the image of God. They were created in His likeness. God said it is very good. And then you come to Genesis chapter 3. And what is it that Satan tempts Adam and Eve with? You can be better. You can be like God. And Adam and Eve looked at each other, and apparently that was appealing to them. Apparently their thought process was, yes, you're right, we can be better. And we know that because what did they do? They ate of the tree. But notice it didn't make them better. It separated them from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 tells us that it's our sins that separate us from God. And the rest of the Bible is a call for us to come back to God. And really, if you want to look at find a summary message, a summary verse to sum up the whole Bible, James 4 and verse 8 is a great passage. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And throughout the pages of the Bible, we find this statement to be true. Abraham drew near to God, and he went from being childless to the father of a nation. Moses drew near to God, and he went from a reluctant prophet to a mighty leader. David drew near to God, and he went from a little shepherd boy to a giant killer. Peter drew near to God, and he went from a fearful denier to a powerful preacher. Paul drew near to God, and he went from a murderer to a missionary. What did all of these have in common? They feared God. They recognized who God is. They recognized that they could not improve upon what God had created, what God had said. They submitted themselves to God. And if we draw near to God, we can only do that when we have a foundation of healthy respect for who He is and what He has done. Respect for His supreme knowledge and care for us. Because when we talk about fearing God, I'm not talking about being afraid. Talking about respect, recognizing who it is that we're submitted to, who it is that we're serving. And when we respect God and we understand who He is and what He's done for us, that's when our lives begin to matter. When Abraham recognized who God is and what God had done for him, you see the faith of Abraham in the offering of Isaac. And Noah, did Noah have respect for God? Absolutely. When God gave Noah the plans for the ark, did Noah try to improve upon that formula? I love what we're told in Genesis. It says that Noah did everything according to what God had said. He followed it exactly. Did Noah matter? Absolutely. There's a second part of this. Not only are we told to fear God, to respect God, but we see Solomon saying, fear God and keep His commandments. You see, lives that matter, they keep the commandments of God. You know, the Pharisees, they really were no different than many of us are today. You know, they were trying to find a shortcut. They just wanted to know what the bare minimum was when it came to obedience to God. And we talked about the great commandment last week, the greatest command of love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind from Matthew chapter 22. But in that, you find the Pharisees essentially asking, hey, what is it? What's the one thing that we need to know? What's the one thing that we need to do? And you find Jesus giving that answer, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The greatest command is to put God first. The greatest command is to obey. If fearing God is the foundation for a life that matters, then we lay that foundation by loving God and loving our neighbor by keeping His commandments. It sounds simple, really, to, you know, to love God first and to love others second. That's the, you know, that's what Jesus taught there in Matthew 22. And it sounds easy, but often we tend to put it on the back burner. We struggle with taking the spotlight off of ourselves and putting it on God and putting it on others. Because we think in order to really matter, people have to be looking at us. In order to really matter, people have to know that we're a big deal and that we're really important. But when we talk about a life that matters, we're not talking about going through life telling people, hey, look at me. Look at how great I am. Look at what I've done. Jesus said the greatest thing that you can do is to love God first and to love your neighbor as yourself, to love others second. When we love God first and others second, we take the spotlight off of ourselves and we put it where it belongs. We put it back on God. Because when the spotlight is on us, all it does is highlight our needs and our faults. I hope this doesn't take my man card, but there's something called a makeup mirror for men out there. And my sister had one. And it was this mirror that had lights around it, and it's like they made just this huge magnifying glass and put it in a mirror. So when you looked into it, it was awful. You know, it zoomed in everything and every flaw. And it's easy to stand against the back wall of a room and look into a mirror and think, oh, I look okay. But when you get up real close and you actually see what you look like, it's a frightening thing. But that mirror was created for what purpose? To point out what you needed to fix, what you needed to cover up. When the spotlight is on us, when we tell everybody, hey, look at us, all we're doing is highlighting our needs, showing our faults. But when we put the spotlight on where it belongs, on God, that's when we become significant. When it is on God, it highlights the one who can fill our needs. It's Him that makes us important. And how do we do that? How does He make us important? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at verses 13 through 16. You're the light of a hill. You're the salt of the earth, excuse me. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall it be salty? How shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither is a candle lit and hid under a basket, but it's put on a candlestick so that it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How does God make us significant? How does loving God first and loving others second make us significant? Because it allows us to have influence. Because it puts the emphasis not on us, but on God. And because of that, we influence people for the better. You know, once you put salt in food, you can't see it anymore. But as soon as you take a bite, you recognize immediately if there's salt or if there's not. If you walk into a room and there is no light, do you notice it right away? Immediately. And Jesus is saying that's how we are to be living. That when we're not there, people notice that something is missing immediately. Because of what we mean, because of the influence that we have on those around us. A few years ago in Mobile, there was a man who passed away who had served as an elder in the Lord's church for over 40 years. And the day of his funeral was just a torrential downpour. And I can remember some of the family being concerned that people aren't going to be able to come out to the funeral home because of how bad the weather was. But it didn't take long after the visitation started for that funeral home to be packed out. And after it was all said and done, and the book where you signed your name of people who came tallied almost 400. This man that they were paying their respects to, that this man that they were honoring by their presence after passing away, wasn't someone who was outspoken. In fact, he was known as a quiet man. He didn't say much. But he was the type of guy that if anything needed to be done, he just did it. You could go by the church building and you would see him outside the church building clearing brush where the picnic tables were, because he heard that they were going to have an event out there and he wanted to make sure they could use it. I think all of us can find people in our lives that are that way. They don't draw attention to themselves, but because of their love for us, because of what they do for us and their care for us, if they were no longer there, we would notice immediately. And Jesus is saying, that's the influence that you're supposed to have. If you want to matter, you fear God, and you keep His commandments. We cannot be the influence that God wants us to be without living a life that matters. And we can't matter if we don't keep the greatest of commands. There are two practical suggestions for living a life that matters. Number one, take responsibility for your own life. Those who choose to live lives that matter take responsibility for everything that happens in their lives, both good and bad. That doesn't mean that they're responsible for everything that happens. There are circumstances and situations that we have no control over. We can't control how other people treat us. We can't control if we get sick or not. We can't control natural disasters. There are just some things that we can't control. But that doesn't mean we can't take responsibility for ourselves. That doesn't mean that I can't control how I react to those things. And people that matter, people that live lives that matter, they don't make excuses for why they can't do anything, why they can't serve, why they can't respect or fear God, why they can't keep His commandments. They take responsibility. You see, I can't influence others for the positive if I'm always pointing the finger and blaming something else, someone else, for why I'm not the way that I should be. I'm in control of me, and I need to live my life that way. But number two, we need to invest our time in things that have real meaning. Solomon reminds us in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, right after he says the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep His commandments, he says in verse 14 that God will bring every work into judgment, whether good or bad, even the secret things. That means the things that I spend my time on, the things that I invest myself into, at the end of the day, I need to ask myself, does this really matter to God? Is this something that would be important to God? And I'm not talking or saying that it's wrong to have hobbies, but what are we investing our life in? What are we giving our most of our time to? And the litmus test, as I said, is this: does this matter to God? God put us here to have an influence. God put us here so that when others met us, they couldn't help but be drawn closer to God because of the lives that we're living. How do we have that type of impact? We fear God and we keep His commandments. You see, God wants us to have a higher purpose, and He wants to challenge us to give our lives to the same noble purpose to which Jesus gave His life. Jesus never drew attention to Himself. Jesus never walked into the room and said, I'm here, But was it noticeable when he was gone? That's the example that we're called to follow. My last question this morning is, have you started living a life that matters? Are you living a life where you're influencing others to draw nearer to God? And you start that life, you start living a life that matters by giving your life to God, by making the greatest decision that you can ever make, by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, having every sin you've ever committed washed away by the blood of Christ through the waters of baptism, to rise up a new person, a new life. That's the start of living a life that matters. And if you need to make that decision this morning, I beg you not to put it off. Do so. Maybe you've done that, but somewhere along the way, maybe you've gotten off course. Maybe you haven't been the influence that you need to be. You know the changes you need to make, and you can start making them right where you sit this morning. But perhaps you need us as your forever family to pray with you, to encourage you, and to build you up. We're always honored to do that. If we can help you in any way this morning, please won't you...
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget.
We hope you've enjoyed another lesson from God's Word. We invite you to join us at our worship services at the Fort Payne Church of Christ. Bible study Sunday morning at 9:30, worship service Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday Bible study at 6:30 p.m. Visit us at our website at www.fortpaynecoc.com.
Oh, heaven came down and glory filled my soul.